focus on that today. We know we're loved. Amen? Amen. Because he first loved us. And it's just a blessing to be here and to stand here in front of you all and talk about today's sermon title and the subject of today. Let me just put these keys down here. The title of today's message is Direction for Mission. And, you know, it's just kind of amazing to me how we, you know, we come to church Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday, and we do so many things, but we continue to build ourselves up in Christ. Amen? I mean, that's why we come to church, amen. We come here to learn the Word. We come here to be taught, and then after people teach us, after we hear the Word and we receive Jesus Christ and we're baptized, then we start coming to church and we start digging in the Word of God and asking a lot of questions. And then after that happens, it is as though we start to be discipled, and then we start to disciple others, and then we start to commission others to go out into the world and to reach others for Christ. Amen? But sometimes we might get what it appears to be a little stuck, you know, in our walk or as to what we're supposed to be doing. So when we look at the title of the message this morning, it's Direction for Mission. Amen? So, and that's found in Acts 16, 6 through 10 is what we're going to be focusing on. But in every organization, there is a vision and mission that drives those who believe in it to accomplish it. Amen? Amen? You join an organization or you work for an organization, and you see it on school buses. You see it when you go and interview. You look up their website and you're like, what is the purpose of what these people do? What is the mission and vision of this certain organization? Amen? But when one receives that, then they try to accomplish it. It becomes a goal, right? Because a vision is something that is a goal that seems like it's way, way out there, that it's hard to attain. And you need to have a mission in order to know how to get to that certain vision or to conquer that certain goal. Amen? For the church, it is to go and make disciples, amen, to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and to teach them to obey all of what Jesus had taught his disciples, all that is written in the Word of God. That is the mission and vision of the church, amen. That's what we need to be about. And that's found in Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Yet, how are we to carry out the Great Commission, and to whom do we share the good news of Jesus Christ with? You know? You ever ask yourself that? It's like you're being built up. You're being trained. You're listening to the sermons. You're listening to teachings. But for what? For who's good? It's beneficial to us, no doubt. But what good is it if we're not sharing it with others? Amen? So how are we to carry out the Great Commission, and to whom do we share the good news of Jesus Christ with? So if you could please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10. And if you are able, please stand for the reading of the Word. Is everyone there? Acts 16, 6 through 10. It says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. And when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. And during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after Paul had seen the vision, it says, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day, Lord. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace, Lord. And right now I pray that you would give us ears to hear your word, Lord God. I pray that our hearts would be pricked, Lord God, to be doers of your word, Lord. Help us, Lord God. Your servants are listening in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. So, just a little bit about the book of Acts. If you know anything about the book of Acts, well, it's kind of interesting because some would say that it might be the Acts of the Apostles, but it's like the Acts of the Holy Spirit because he's the one who's doing these wonderful things, and he still is today. Amen. And the thing about Acts, though, is that if you read through the book of Acts, you will notice that the letters or the epistles, like to the Philippians and the Romans and to Galatians and Ephesians, all those letters are basically coming from the book of Acts. So when you read the book of Acts, those letters were written from Paul's journeys inside the book of Acts. So it's kind of interesting how those letters derive from his journey throughout the book of Acts. But moving forward, in the book of Acts, in verses 6 through 10 of chapter 16, Luke, who is the writer of the book of Acts, tells us of the Apostle Paul's second missionary journey that took place around 49 AD. And the Apostle Paul appears to be traveling with Silas, the prophet, which is kind of interesting. He's a prophet. That's recorded or found in Acts 15:32. There was young Timothy, who was a half Jew and half Greek. And then you have Dr. Luke, who actually wrote the book of Acts and wrote the Gospel of Luke, the author of the book of Acts. That they had been traveling in Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey. And it seems as though they wanted to preach the word of God in a particular area. Yet the Holy Spirit kept them from preaching the word. It's kind of interesting, huh? You would think, you know, God tells us to go to, you know, Judea and Jerusalem and to the outer ends of the world. And here God forbade them to go into this certain area. It's kind of interesting, I think. Yet the Holy Spirit kept them from preaching the word. And so they traveled northwest. And they came to the border of Mysia and tried to enter Bithynia. So what they were doing is here's Israel over here in the east. And here they're traveling up and they're going over this way, going west. And they're going into Asia Minor. And here's Turkey. And they start traveling up north. And they wanted to go back over this way to the top of northern Turkey. But the Holy Spirit didn't allow them to. So then they decided, well, let's go down over to Troas. And so they traveled northwest and came to the border of Mysia and tried to enter Bithynia, but the Holy Spirit would not allow them to enter into that area, so they ended up in Troas, which is kind of interesting. And I don't know about you, but it seems like the Holy Spirit shuts doors or areas where we would like to preach the gospel. Doesn't it seem like that sometimes? I mean, that's what happened here. Really, it did. Amen? And those areas may be with, guess who? Family, or in an area in which we live, like our communities. It might even be in our workplace or in the very community in which our church resides. Isn't that interesting? So, I mean, we have our families and we have our workplace. We have the place in which we're here on 25th and Lafayette trying to preach the gospel, trying to reach people for Christ in this area. But how do we move beyond the areas in which God does not want us in or has shut for a season? How do we seek direction for the mission and vision of the church? It's an interesting question. Amen. You see, family related to family, could it be that our families know that we are Christians and what we're about? I mean, do you ever see those people in your family and they kind of know what you're about? Oh, here comes those holy rollers, or oh, here comes those Christians. They can't be drinking and they can't dance. And I mean, you know, I like to dance, but you know, other parts, I'm kind of like a bummer, you know, to my family members, and they want to kind of chill out and hang out and drink or something. But, you know, it's like, is the door shut there? You know? Because they know what you're about. Amen? They know what you're about. So they simply accept us or tolerate us. Doesn't it seem that way? It's like you come around and like, oh, there he is. I know he's on a mission again, you know, for Jesus Christ. I mean, you know, and they kind of just, after a while, they just kind of leave you alone, and you kind of leave them alone, and it's like the door just kind of closes because you all know what each other's about. Amen? But what about the areas in which we live? Don't our neighbors know we are Christians and see us leave every Sunday for church? Isn't that something? You know, there's people out there watching, you know, when you wake up and they kind of look out the window and, you know, you see Mrs. Thomas out there, or Mrs. Garcia, or someone looking at, oh, there they go again. They're going to go to church again. Gosh, those people doing it again. And how many times have you talked to them and you invited them to church, or they know you're a Christian, or they know you're a pastor, or a deacon, or someone who really loves the Lord and is doing great things, and they just don't receive it. You know, it's just like, okay, that door's kind of shut. You know, it's like, it's, what else can you do? They know what you're about, right? And then what about those whom we work with? Don't they see how we interact with others and model what it is to be Christ-like amongst unbelievers? You know, there's people out there we work with. You know, I used to be a truck driver for many years, and I'd go into the workplace, and I'd go into that workroom, and they'd be like, why are you smiling? And I'd be like, you know, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, well, because Jesus loves me. He's like, oh, okay. You know, and so they know what you're about, and they know that you're ready to give them something if they allow you to. But then all of a sudden they know what you're about, and that door kind of just closes. But they know who you are, you know. Your family knows who you are. Your area in which you live, they know who you are. In your workplace, they know who you are. Amen. What's interesting is that one day they might ask you, what about Jesus? Amen. That said, what about the community in which our church resides here? Don't we try to reach our community with picnics and philanthropy and giving, you know? We're partners over here with Whittier. We have a picnic and we spend a lot of money trying to get people to know who we are, just to know that we're friendly people and that there is a pulse in this church. You know what I mean? We want people to know that we're here and that we love the Lord and that we love people. Amen? But the people know we're here, but where are they? They're walking their dog, someone said. But you know, I don't think we should give up on sharing the gospel with our families, our communities, or our coworkers. And we should definitely not give up on reaching our church community, amen? Though it is changing in terms of demographics, it's an interesting thing, you know? There's so many churches that are like all over, almost like on every other block, it seems, there's a church. And I was driving down a street over here, I was telling some of the sisters, and there's this one church that's there, and it's like, wow, it looks like very like millennial-ish. Now, that's not even a word, but it looks like it's appealing to the millennials or something, you know. And you know, it's interesting because maybe they are drawing some folks in that direction. But praise God, you know, God works. God, there's this book where it talks about different streams of how different people are reached, you know. And praise God that if they're doing the Lord's work. But I'm thinking, what are we doing, you know? What are we doing? Amen. Brothers and sisters, we don't know what God has in store for us. Amen. Do you know? Because I don't. His ways are not our ways. Amen. Amen. It might seem like we're going forward and then we're just like kind of in this cul-de-sac and we're like, we just dip in and dip out and dip in and dip out, right? Almost kind of like a roadblock, but we just keep circulating back and forth. But we're doing God's will and God's work. Amen. We're not giving up on that. But we don't know what God has in store for us, and we don't, his ways are not our ways. Amen. Yet we must remain faithful to the mission and vision of God, which is to preach the gospel, disciple, and commission others to do the same. You know, we get up here and we preach or we teach or we model or we do whatever we do to build the body of Christ up. But for what? For someone to learn, for someone to be disciples, so someone else could come up here and preach, so someone else could come up here and teach, so someone else can go out there and tell people about Jesus Christ. Amen? Because it's not about me, amen? And it's not about us, it's about him and what he's doing and who he wants to use. Amen? For God wishes that none would perish, but to have everlasting life in him. And we need to continue to build ourselves up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Jude 20. To direct our path. And in doing so, we might be able to see or get a clear direction as to where God wants us to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? When we're building ourselves up, when we're learning the word, when we're in prayer, when we're like, Lord, help us. We need some direction. Amen? Paul appeared to be depending upon the Lord. Because in verse 9 of our text, if you want to go there, it says that during the night, Paul had a vision of a man, a Macedonian, standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. So here Paul had this vision of this man saying, come over to Macedonia. Come over here. We need you. We need you. Seeing all those other doors are shut, just like some of the doors in our family, just like some of the doors in our community, just like some of the doors in our workplace, just like some of the doors in our community in which our church is. But there's someone out there saying, I need help. I need help. Come help me. I need it. Amen. So as a believer and as a church, who is begging or crying out for help? Do you ever ask that question to yourself? Who is begging or crying out for help? If it is no one in our family, community, work, or in our area in which our church resides, where is it? Where is it? I believe it is in all of the above areas. Amen? It really is. Though they may all be in denial. Amen? I don't have a problem, really. Denial. Or maybe they already have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? But we should not cease in being the light that shines in a dark place. Amen? We should not cease to be that light. However, we should not overlook those who are in bondage. Those who are in bondage. Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Amen. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Where are those sinners at? Where are the sick at? Amen. It kind of reminds me of a story in the Bible about a blind man named Bartimaeus. You guys remember the story of Bartimaeus? Amen. It's kind of interesting just for a little bit of background, but here's old blind Bartimaeus, right? And he's around other people, and we'll read about it. But he sees Jesus walking, and he reaches out, and he's crying out. And the people that are around him are like, shh, be quiet. Almost like, we don't need a doctor. We don't need a healing. Be quiet. We're okay. It's all good. That's kind of what it seems. But if you want to turn there, the story is found in Mark 10, verses 46 through 52. So if you have your Bibles, open them up, please, to Mark 10, verses 46 through 52. When you're there, say amen. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. And it was said that Jesus and his disciples had come to Jericho. And as Jesus and his disciples, together with the large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called him. They called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. And the blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. You see that? It's someone who was crying out for help while others were saying, you don't need it. You don't need that help. Shh, you're okay. That said, where are the Bartimaeuses of the world? Amen? Who are crying for help? Where are the sick and the brokenhearted? Where are the poor and the blind and the oppressed? Where are they? Is where we ought to be. Amen. That's where we ought to be. That's where the church ought to be. Amen. Because you see, when we look at the Old Testament, the reason why they went into exile, the reason why they were conquered and all that was because they forgot about the poor. They forgot about the sick. They forgot about the widow. All of a sudden, when all that capital, much like America, started rushing in and the farms started producing crops and they were doing their ritualistic things and they were, you know, making sure they were giving their tithe and they were doing all these things and they looked so beautiful on the outside, but yet they didn't care about the poor. They didn't care about the widow. They didn't care about the brokenhearted. They cared about themselves. And they forgot about what God told them to do. And they went into exile because they even started worshiping false gods. You see? They wanted to be more like the world and forgot about what they're supposed to be doing. Isn't that something? Well, what are we doing? Are we doing the same thing? You see, in verse 10 of our text, going back to Acts 16, verse 10, it says, after Paul had seen the vision, they got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called them to preach the gospel to them. You see? They heard the message. They saw, he had this vision and he saw the person and he acted upon it. They went and they were gone. They're like, we're going to go over there then to Macedonia. We're going to go do that. We're not going to waste our time over here because this is where we're needed. This is where God has called us. The person who was crying and begging for help. Where do we see people crying and begging for help? Is it in this neighborhood? Is it maybe in Swansea? Is it maybe over in the Curtis Park Projects? Is it, where are these people at? You know, I see a lot of things happening here in our community. It doesn't mean that they need Jesus, but maybe some of them might feel like, I'm okay. I'm good. But where are the ones who are crying out for help, saying, come and help me. Come and help me. Teach me. I need hope in my life. I need a miracle in my life. I need some hope. I don't know what direction I'm going. I'm stuck in this rut. I need Jesus. Can you help me? Please? And there we go. Just walking. Not even looking at them because it's too hard to look at. Or we look at it and we're like, that's too much work. That's going to take too much time. I got to watch my show. I'll be stuck on Facebook. I can't get my face out of Facebook. Seriously. As I think to myself, where are the people at? Is where we ought to be. But Paul, he saw the need. Those doors were closed, but he saw this vision of this man begging him. And what did he do? He got up and he went. You see, because God was going to use him for a purpose, just like he's here to use us for a purpose and for a reason. Why are we here today? Why are we being built up in our most holy faith? Why do we worship God and praise him for all the wonderful things he does, but yet we don't share it with others? It's like we arrived, like Maslow's hierarchy of need. We're here at self-actualization, and we forgot where we came from, which was those basic needs in life. How sad. Amen. And much to that, I'm speaking to myself. I'm not just speaking to you. I'm speaking to me. Amen. Therefore, where is God calling Antioch Community Church? Where is God calling ACC to preach the gospel? Is it in our homes? Yes. Is it in our communities? Yes. Is it in our workplaces? Yes. Is it in the community in which our church resides? Yes. Yet, in what specific place is God calling us to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? Where? We know what we're supposed to be doing, and we've been doing it. Praise God. But there's something more. Amen? Something more that God wants us to do. And I pray God would have us go out to the places where people are sick and broken and poor and blind and oppressed. And I pray that we would be prayed up, studied up, and filled with the fruit of the Spirit to carry out God's mission and vision to give individuals the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what it's about. That's what it's about. About developing relationships, letting them know that God loves them, that God cares for them, that God accepts you, that he receives you, not when you're all fixed up, not when you all look good, but when you're all broken. He wants you, amen? He receives you. But in conclusion, I challenge each and every one of you, including myself, to be ready to go where God leads us to preach the gospel. Where God called Paul and his companions was to Macedonia. But do you know where Macedonia was? Macedonia is in modern-day Europe. You see, he was trying to do this work over here, but God knew that he wanted these people over here in the West to know about him. And he sent him there to that area. What a blessing, amen? But God called Paul to preach the gospel in the West. And an interesting fact about those in Macedonia was that they gave to the work of the Lord and supported Paul's ministry. So you see, when Paul was in prison, who came and supported him? The Macedonians. When Paul was needing support, just encouragement, who came to his aid? The Macedonians. Isn't that something? Was it the people in Jerusalem? Was it the people over in Antioch there, in like by Lebanon? Was it the people in Asia Minor who came to his aid? It was these Macedonians, the ones who were begging for help, the ones who were begging and saying, I need you, Lord. He went over to them. And what's so amazing is that they supported the ministry. These people were even giving money to the people in Jerusalem, the persecuted church. Isn't that amazing? They were doing some amazing things. And it's like, we're not tapping into that. We're not making ourselves available to go to that area where people need to hear about Jesus Christ. Amen. So brothers and sisters, there are people who are in need of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us not be complacent, but let's prayerfully ask God to direct us concerning his vision and his mission. Amen. When we have that in order, and when we're prayed up, and we're not complacent, and we're not too busy and saying, that's too much work, I can't deal with that, with that lady who has psychological problems, I can't deal with that person whose public service is about to go out, I can't deal with those kids that they have, oh my gosh, have you seen them? You know, I mean, you know, and it's sad, but sometimes we get like that, right? Because, I mean, even right now after church, what are we thinking about? Food? Where are we going to go eat? But are we really thinking about, hey, let's go down the streets and let's go on the highways and byways and feeding the poor or encouraging someone with the good word? Because where were you at? Where were you at when you needed Jesus? I know where I was. I was broken, huh? My mom and dad were divorced. I was lacking direction. But when Jesus came into my life, I felt an assurance. I felt like this is the one who's going to teach me the right way. Amen? So there's someone out there who needs Jesus Christ, because we're messed up people. Amen? We're messed up people. We teach our kids some crazy stuff sometimes. Some kind of traditions and some prejudices and all that stuff. But when I look at the Word of God, when I look at the one who saved my soul, I say, this is where it's at. Amen? But we need to get out there and we need to have a heart for the broken, because I was broken. Need to have a heart for those who were in bondage, because I was in bondage. Amen? But I've been set free. And I want others to be set free. Amen. But we need to do it, brothers and sisters, including me. I need to get myself together. Amen.
Amen.
Recognize it's not about me, but it's about him and having a heart for those created in his image. Amen. Brother Derek, can you play that song, please? Thank you, Pastor Larry. If we could watch this video and ask God to give us a heart for those created in his image.